general supervisor are almost done, and just can you give us your ringing thoughts about how you guys feel about this?
I think it's been a tremendous few days for us. I think we set out to strengthen our team, improve our team in a lot of different areas, and I think we've accomplished a lot of that. And again, I have to first give thanks to Jimmy and Dee, and then to Sashi and obviously Paul and Andrew and the scouting staff and our coaching staff and everybody who's involved in this, all the way down to our secretaries. You know, I think about the hard work that goes into one of these drafts, and it's not just, you know, the last 3 days. It's been a lot of work to get to this point and then to go and try to finish it like we have. And I think it's just been a tremendous job by our whole organization from top to bottom.
When we talk to you, you talk about the need for touchdowns, and so you're going to get three wide receivers, not counting that tight end too. So just talk about making that such a target in this draft.
Well, I think what's important is you got to score the ball. You know, you have to score touchdowns. You have to put yourself in position to score touchdowns. Schematically, I think we'll be as good as we can be, but at the same time, you have to have players that give you the flexibility to do that from a lot of different areas, from a lot of different places, whether it's by air or whether it's by land. So I think we accomplished that in this draft to go along with the guys that we already have here, and it's going to give us a chance to have the best of the best that we can put out there, and I think that's what's important.
Obviously, it's early and it's fresh being draft weekend, but just overall, you know, the 13 players, how much of an impact, from your standpoint, are you expecting these guys to have versus maybe a good chunk of them being those developmental, bring them along in your program?
Well, I'm expecting these guys to compete. You know, this is about competition, and I don't think you can ever put a limit on any young man, regardless of what his draft status is. I think you coach them all up. You treat them the same, and you kind of let the cream rise to the top. And everybody's here for a reason. They're trying to earn a job, and we put them on this team because they have the characteristics that we look for. So we're looking forward to letting these men compete. I think you guys all have seen the success stories across the National Football League of guys who are drafted in later rounds who make a team or end up becoming stars. So I don't want to put a limit on what anybody's capable of doing.
Paul. I was looking, you got a whole bunch of guys that have been like All-Americans or Biletnikoff Award winners and, you know, kind of big-time production in college. How did that come into play when you guys were sort of putting things together for your board and so on? Was that?
It didn't really, to be honest with you. I actually wasn't aware of a lot of the awards and things like that until people started talking about it on TV. Although we were joking about it in the room afterward, I said, what, do they want us to take guys who weren't productive in college? That would have been better. I think we're certainly happy that those were, you know, accomplishments that some of these guys had in the past. But but ultimately that's not necessarily a great predictor of what they're gonna do at this level. This is a very different game.
How do you compare this to a baseball draft?
Boy, it's very different. First of all, a baseball draft would have another 33 rounds to go. And you don't sign all the players, you know, and it's high school players, college players. It's a bigger pool. You do usually have close to 1,000 players on your draft board. And so it also just goes a little quicker because you still do it in the course of 3 days. So in that sense, different. But on the other hand, you know, fundamentally still very much the same. This is about not only picking talented players, but people that you think really fit in your organization. You know, as you could see probably from the five guys that were up here earlier today, as much as we're focused on talent, we're really also focused on character. And in that sense, it's no different than, you know, what I've been doing for the last 20 years.
Well, you guys, why, how difficult is that variable, the character, to assess and evaluate when you're talking to a
group? I think very. You know, I don't think there's not a silver bullet there. There's not a test that tells you exactly what he's going to be like. But, you know, what we have to do is spend as much time with them as we can. I think our scouts have done a tremendous job here of trying to get to know these kids as best they can, get to know their coaches, get to know everyone around their program. You know, we've had a chance of 60 interviews at the combine. We had another 30 visits here. Our coaches hustled like crazy during the combine to try to get to know these kids. So not perfect, you know, by any stretch, but it was something that we really emphasized and was important to us this year, and I think we'll continue to be going forward.
Well, I think it was just the cornerback that you guys just traded for, and in studying some of his statistics, it seems like he has had some of the similar issues in Miami that Justin Gilbert may have had here. High expectations, lack of production, getting benched. Why do you think he can help?
Well, I don't want to compare him to Justin. I mean, I think Justin's situation is different, but I think he's a former second-round draft pick who's very talented. And sometimes in these situations, young men need a change of scenery, and maybe this will benefit him, but it also benefits us because he has talent and ability. And, again, he has to come here and fit into our culture and do the things that we're asking our young men to do each and every day and to follow our program, and I think he will. You know, again, this is a shot. You know, this is an opportunity for him. But at the same time, I think he recognizes, and we do too, that it's got to be something that has a potential to work out.
You've made it clear that you want a strong running game. The team did not draft a running back, if I'm reading my list right.
Absolutely.
Does that say that you're? What does that say about?
It says I'm very happy with the guys that are here. You know, that's one of the things that once I got here that I wanted to really take a strong look at. And from top to bottom, I think we have some good candidates here. We still have a ways to go. You know, obviously there's been no shoulder pads put on or any helmets. But I think the guys accepted my challenge. And I think Coach Wilson, Kirby Wilson, our run game coordinator and running back coach, has done a great job of really bringing these guys along. We have a long way to go, but we'll find out a lot more about them in training camp. But I'm very happy with the group thus far.
Emmanuel, wide receivers, because of the amount of wide receivers you guys have touched, does that mean the opposite, that you know, were really looking to revamp that?
Well, I said when I got here that I was looking to improve, you know, that position. I wanted to get some bigger targets, you know, on our football team. But I'm also very happy with the group we had. But I think you can never have too much talent or competition at that position, because I think it helps improve your quarterback position. You know, as I said, the quarterback's a guy that kind of drives the engine here. And we're going to do everything that we can to put him in a position to succeed. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. You know, the offensive line plays a huge role in that, but so does the wide receivers and running backs and tight ends. You have to have targets for him to throw at. And we've accomplished that in this draft.
Hugh, Emmanuel sat up there and said, change is coming. Do you get the sense that these guys that you're drafting, especially at the top of the draft, are kind of embracing the rebuilding project?
I know you keep saying rebuilding. You guys know I won't call it that, because I really don't believe in that. I think it started a long time ago here. I think it started a long time ago here with Jimmy and Dee when they made a decision to make a change. I think that was the changing of the guard. And I truly believe that this class will start to put a stamp on what we're truly about and what we're becoming. You know, we're not there yet by any stretch of imagination. We have a long way to go. But you have to start someplace, and I think this is where we're starting. This is going to be our first class, and I've been more than excited to be with the people that I'm with going through this process, and it's been outstanding, and it is going to be a change, and we're looking forward to it.
Paul, from your point of view, because you talked about Kessler yesterday, but you know, a lot of the draft people have him barely getting drafted or this kind of thing. What made him, in your mind, worthy to go where he did?
You know, I think it's all about sort of what we look for in a player and what we value depending on the position they play. And as an organization, we may value things a little differently than others. And I don't necessarily mean value in terms of numerically, just, you know, what we think's important. And, you know, he has some of the skills that I think we value highly in a quarterback. I think he's a quick decision maker. He's a very accurate thrower. There are things that we felt like, you know, Hugh could really do with him and make him as good as he could be or as productive as he could be, and just felt like he had a chance to be a really good fit in our offense and with the coaches that we have.
Well, along those lines, there were other guys today. I mean, it kind of started with Kessler, but there were several guys today who, I don't want to say several, but there were maybe three or four guys who, you know, we have all these draft guys, and we have Mike Mayock up there. And they're saying, well, we had it much lower. We don't even have – some of the guys weren't even in the draft, guys. They had multiple. So what do you say to, you know, when people say that these are perceived reaches? Is this just a circumstance of your unique approach, or –
No, I don't think so. I think that's just the nature of the draft, you know, and I think that'll happen probably with just about any organization. They'll take some players that people say, geez, he was, you know, this seems high for him, or, you know, or what have you, because everyone does have sort of different values on different traits. You know, there were a handful of players that, you know, again, that we thought were that were taken pretty high that we didn't have very high at all. And that's just, I think, the nature of the beast. And, again, no different, I think, from here than from baseball either.
Well, Clint Kessler said that he's coming in with the mindset that he wants to compete for the starting job. First of all, do you like that? And second of all, is that realistic, or do you have kind of a vision of bringing him along slowly?
I love it. I love that guy wants to walk in here and compete and be the best he can be, because that's the only way you get better. My vision for him is to see where he is. You know, I haven't had a chance to work with him on the field or in a classroom. I mean, we've had great conversations, but at the same time, we drafted him on this team to make that quarterback room better. And how he competes and where he grows from there, that will all show itself in time.
What player on your board, you talked about, you know, some guys dropped with him. So what player on your board did you get late that you would call really a great pick at that spot?
I think most of them, right?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
I don't know if we can pick one out. I mean, we're excited about every one of these guys, and some for different reasons. I'm just looking through the list now, but you know, they're all so different. But I think we're excited, you know, for different reasons for having just about all these guys.
I mean, like, you know, like the name was talking about our some guys. So I had Jordan Payton in some. He was rated higher than guys who went. We're drafted low, higher, but we're ranked low. So a guy like him is what I'm talking about.
Right. No, again, I think we're excited about every single one of these guys. It's part of the reason we kept getting, you know, extra picks. It wasn't just a sort of play a game of accumulating picks. It was all with the intent of getting specific players. And you know, this list really has just about all of them. I mean, these are the guys we had targeted from the beginning and felt like they would be good fits for us.
When you make a trade, do you use the trade value chart that I think it's Kevin Mears came up with?
I would say we probably use maybe three or four different ones that we've used or that we know are used around the league, just so we have a sense of you know, what's sort of out there in the marketplace. I wouldn't say we're using anything special.
You guys run up anything new specifically for this draft?
No.
Your own chart?
No.
Hugh is the kid, though, Drango from Baylor. What is he going to play? What position?
He's going to play tackle, right tackle.
Mm-hmm. Tackle.
Yes, sir.
Thought
he was
more of a guard or something.
I'm sorry?
Some of us, because the Baylor system saw him, thought he'd be more of a guard. He could pull. I have no clue. I'm asking.
Right, no, we're going to put him out at tackle first and see if he can handle that. And then if we need to move him inside, we always can.
What about a couple guys specifically, you know, Schobert and Ricardo Lewis were the first two picks today. Could you cover what you guys saw on them?
Well, when you talk about Schobert, he is a tremendous football player. I mean, he has the versatility to play outside linebacker as well as inside linebacker. He'll be a special player, I believe, on special teams. But this guy is a big-time football player. I mean, and when you watch him play, that's what you see. You see a guy go make a lot of plays in games, whether it's intercepting balls, hitting quarterbacks, taking line running backs down in the backfield. He has some ability, and we're really excited about having him on our team. And Ricardo Lewis, I mean, again, here's a guy that knows how to play the ball. You know, he knows how to go make plays on the ball. Again, he's a safety. And when you watch him, the guy runs the alley, goes and picks balls off. So, again, we took players in specific areas where we needed some help, and we feel like these guys are going to make a real contribution to our football team.
You asked people to kind of trust you when it comes to believing that Cody Kessler can be a good quarterback. Why is that, and what makes you think that, you know, you are kind of finding a little bit of a diamond in the rough here? Is it because, you know, you identified Colin Kaepernick back in 2011 as, you know, before everybody kind of thought that he was going to be so good? What makes you believe that, and why do you think that people should trust you that this guy's going to be good?
Because, one, when I look at quarterbacks, I've had a history with bringing guys along, and I think over my history, the guys who can complete the ball and throw the ball straight with accuracy and make great decisions, that are intelligent, that know how to lead football teams, they've been successful. And I've been very good at watching those things happen. And I think this young man has uncanny ability to throw the ball with accuracy. I think he's very intelligent. I think he's been in every kind of system that you can think of. I think he is a grinder. I think he loves to work at the game. And I think what happens is sometimes people have, I think the question I was asked earlier, you know, if people think you're not this, you know, top of the round draft pick quarterback, that maybe you don't have a chance to play in a National Football League. And that's already been proven to be different. And I think he has the makeup, you know, that he's going to have a chance to ascend. Now, he has to do the work, just like I've said about every quarterback we've had here. And I think he will do the work. But I think at the same time, as we go through this process, I think you guys will be admired about how he throws the ball with quickness and when he throws it directly to people. I mean, to give guys opportunities to make catches on the ball. Okay.
I need
to back up because Ricardo Lewis, I was thinking of the wrong guy for a second. You're talking about the receiver, Ricardo Lewis, the guy that can run vertical down the field and make great plays on the ball. No, I almost well, I just caught my list here. No, Ricardo Lewis was a great pickup for us because, again, he's another big, tall athlete who can really run and has tremendous speed, and he has vertical ability. He's made a lot of big plays. I think we all know what his average per catch was over 17 yards. So he's another guy that knows how to score the ball and has a chance to do some special things because of his athleticism and his ability to get vertical really fast. Okay, so you got to give him one more.
This is just a – would you like to see the draft moved up? Because one of the big stories the last couple of years is the having to work with guys coming from spread formations. And it's not just quarterbacks anymore. There's so much guys, the tackles are having so much trouble. As coaches, not just you personally, mm-hmm. would you like to see the draft maybe moved up a couple weeks so you could have more time to start with these young guys to get them acclimated to the program?
Well, I think that's still a part of the CBA,
right.
You know. Right. I think the coaches, we would all love to have them longer so you can spend more time with them honing their craft and getting better. But I think at the same time, we do understand, you know, that there is a time and a place to do everything. And the rules are the rules. And I know you're not asking specifically about the rules, but would we love to have more time with our players to get them better? I think every coach across the National Football League would. But at the same time, I think we all are understanding that these players are bigger, faster, stronger, need more rest, need more time. There's a lot that's still going to it that that's just part of how it is right now. And we accept that.